Book of 1 Thessalonians, if you would, and we'll just read all 10 of these verses. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know of what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he had raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know, this is Paul's first letter here to the Thessalonians. I mean, when you read through the Thessalonians, almost the end of every chapter here in 1 Thessalonians, there's a reference to the second coming. We're not going to go through those. But what you also notice in the book of Thessalonians, they didn't have the same testimony as the Corinthians. There wasn't a bunch of problems in this church. Doctrinally, you can't really find any doctrinal statement that the Thessalonians were missing. I mean, they didn't have any doctrinal issues or moral problems like the Corinthian church did. But you know what I find out in this chapter was that they liked talking about the Lord. They had a good testimony. This was the church that was started after Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Acts chapter number 16. So if you would, just hold your place there. We'll kind of go back and forth between Acts and Acts chapter 16. And 17 is kind of where the Philippian church and where the Thessalonian church got its start, if you didn't know that. Book of Acts lists several churches that were started in there and Paul's journeyings through all that. And this is exactly in Acts chapter 16 is where we pick this up. We all know the story of the Philippian jailer. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 12. We get that story. And from thence to Philippi, which is in the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened. Man, that's what you need right there. You need the God to move and open people's hearts so that seed can get in there. I can't do it, folks. I can't. That she attended unto things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if he have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I mean, that whole thing is just neat. Yeah. It's like, look, she's saying something that's right, but she, man, something's wrong with this lady. There's a lot of cults out there that'll say something right, but they don't know nothing about the Lord. They're not with the Lord. They're of a different spirit. That's what the book teaches. Man.
And her master saw that their hope of gains, notice that her master wasn't the Lord, it was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And here's that famous passage we all know. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, walking in out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I mean, here's Paul and Silas there, and then in the worst possible circumstance it could be, in prison, and they're singing praises unto God, and everybody, all the prisoners heard it, the jailer's there, and he comes in and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Because something's real going on with you guys, because you just sang, all the bands are loosened and all the prisoners are still there. Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And it says in verse number 31, this is funny to me anyway. It says, and they said, it wasn't Paul, it wasn't Silas, it was both of them together. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Like it was happy to give the gospel out. Amen. That's exactly what it was. "And they spake unto him in the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all straightway." I mean, that's repentance right there. "And when he had brought them into the house, he set forth meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates set the sergeant, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told the saying to Paul, and the magistrates have sent to let them go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said, 'And they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now they thrust us out privily. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out.'" I mean, Paul's just getting bold, man. He's like, let them come. Come on. "And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they became..." Would to God we had some Christians like that today. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. "And they came and besought them, and they desired them, and depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." And Paul goes through all this. And then he leaves. And in verse number 17, verse 1, "And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue." This is where the Thessalonian church starts. "And Paul, as his manner was, is unto them in 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Christ whom I preach to you is Christ, I preach unto you is Christ." Now this is where it started. This is where that started. If you turn back over there to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I said hold your place there over in Acts 2. First Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 8. It says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." You know, the title of the message is a telling testimony. A telling testimony. You know what these Thessalonians did? They sounded out. It says they sounded out the word of the Lord. You know what? Paul sounded out the gospel everywhere he went. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 21. I mean, Paul was always sounding out his testimony. As we should. Look over there. This is, look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. This is one of my favorites. I know I say that a lot. Acts chapter 26, and this is Paul being prison bound. He gets to go over there before King Agrippa. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And you know what he says in verse number 2? He says, I think myself happy. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, that I get to give my testimony. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Even though he's bound still, he's not going to get out of here. He's contested unto Caesar and they're going to let him go. You know what he says? He goes, I just thank God that I get to give my testimony today in front of all you. I think myself happy to give my testimony. I think myself happy that I get to sound out what God's done in my life. Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions, which are among the Jews, whereof I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. He says, you know what? All the Jews knew who I was. They knew the kind of guy I was. They know what I've changed into. Which knew me of the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto them, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise from the dead? It's a great question. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Boy, I read that and I said, man, I'm pretty good compared to this guy. I used to sell drugs. Lord changed me.
Amen.
The Lord changed me.
Yeah.
But you know, those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise.
Yeah, right.
And we like to lift up our, we like to say, oh, I'm better than that guy. Yeah. Well, I wasn't as bad as Paul though.
Yeah.
But Paul's going to say, I used to kill Christians. You're like, woohoo, that's pretty bad. Right? I see people going, that's pretty bad. And he's appealing before the king. I'm openly admitting I'm a murderer. Well, you should probably go to jail. I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. And I compelled them to blaspheme. You know what? I lied against them. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen on the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what? People do that every day though. People kick against the Holy Spirit of God all day long. And I said to them, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, and I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of these things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And this verse right here is just phenomenal. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Again, I think that's the definition of Christianity. Amen. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. Boy, that's good. Unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on this day witnessing both in small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So all he's saying is, look, I'm using that whole Old Testament of what Moses and prophets, which you know, King Agrippa, and I'm just speaking those things. And you know it. Jesus referenced that. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, that they should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, whereof whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things which are hidden from me for this day has come in not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And that's just the way it is sometimes. People are just going to kick against the pricks. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up and the governor and Bernice, and they sat with him. And they were gone aside. They talked beside themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. You know what? He thought himself happy to give his testimony. And he told Paul, Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he says, but even after they had suffered before, that we were shamefully entreated at you at Philippi. You know what his testimony there was? He was even shamefully entreated. And he'd share that with him. This is what happened to us over at the Philippians. This is what happened over there. And first, in chapter number 1, verse 5, it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You know, not in word only, but in spirit and in power, much assurance, that truth, that you know it's truth, that you know it's truth. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. That's what he preached in Thessalonians. And because he preached that, because he sounded out that, and some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. You know what? Some of them believed because he sounded out. The result of Paul sounding out, people got saved. They left the religion behind. Just religion. I think they've got people in here who got saved out of the Catholic Church. We're not saying Hail Marys anymore. We're not saying this patented prayer anymore. Repeating after me, vain jangling. They don't have this religion. They got a relationship with the Lord. And it burned a fire in their heart and they went forth from it. You know what it said? They received the gospel with joy. Because Paul sounded out, you know what? The Thessalonians, you know what they found out? They found out they was lost. You know, you heard the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You know what? They found out there's a God who loves them. You don't just have to go through all these religion. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I used to go to a Catholic church. If I spent the night at my friend Doug's house on a Saturday, I had to go to Catholic church. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't get saved until I was 29. And when I remember, they'd always go into the church service, you know, and they do this. And then they go into the church, you know, and they sit down. And I did that. I did this because they did it. And I go sit down. And I remember Doug's mom one day, she goes, Michael, you don't have to do that. And I looked at her with the straight honesty in all my heart. And I go, why do you do it? And she goes, I don't know. And I told that story to Bob. And Bob goes, she didn't know. And Bob told him why I did. You have to do that when you go in front of the cross. I go, I didn't even know that. She didn't even know that. I'm talking about religion. Right. They're not saved. They're not preaching the same Jesus. I'm not saying there ain't some Catholics out there that ain't saved, by the way. You know what I mean? Lord save anybody. You're going to be surprised when you get to heaven who's there and who isn't. I'm just talking about religion. They found out, you know what? They repented. Verse number 9, 1 Thessalonians. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God. That's true repentance. I was serving this thing over here. I was serving this. And you know what? I said, nope. I didn't just go this way and sit down. But I went over this way. And then I started serving. I found out there's a real God. A living God. And I can serve Him. And He answers my prayer. He's not just a golden statue sitting up there on the pulpit. And you rub His belly and He mystically, you know, a genie appears or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But I can pray to a God in heaven and He's going to answer my prayer through faith. Yeah, and they found that out. This changed them. This converted them. In verse number 3, it says they had a work of faith. You know what? They was just telling people about God. Telling them about Christ. Telling them about these services they had where they had the Holy Ghost in there. These Holy Ghost services they've been having. That's what Paul said. For our gospel came not on you in word only. Well, I've been in some of those. Drier than cracker juice. I mean, it's all from Bane if the Holy Ghost ain't going to show up. It really is. Power of the Holy Ghost. You can't manufacture that. And I've seen it. I've been to these services where they come in, they have the lights. Preacher gets up there. He's got ripped jeans, Portland Trail Blazer jacket. I mean, that's what he had. Talking about how good the Blazers were before the service, preaches the service. But the music, they use the music and it's kind of hypnotic kind of, you know what I mean? Put you in those trance states with those certain tones. They know what they're doing. It's of the devil. It's a different spirit. This wasn't those services. And I imagine when we get there and you see Paul's not going to be like this real polished guy. You're going to be like, you guys were listening to that dude? You know what I mean? I mean, I see these pictures of Paul and I'm like, that's probably him. You know what I mean? Lord can use whoever He wants. It's not my call. Holy Ghost will use whoever He wants. And He used Paul, the chiefest of sinners, the guy who killed Christians, the guy who helped and aided with Stephen. I mean, they looked at Stephen, they looked at Stephen and said that he had the face of an angel. And you couldn't resist his speaking. He was so full of the Holy Ghost. And Paul was a part of that. Paul was not going to be my first choice for deacon or pastor in the church. You killed Chris? No, you got to sit in the back. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest. None of you would have picked that guy. But God did. God used that guy. It wasn't just religion. That's what Paul found out. Paul said, man, I was of the religious sect. A Pharisee. I was blameless. I knew all about religion. But then I got saved one day. And I found out there's a Savior who loves me. It was a labor of love. It was telling people, verse number 3, remembering of ceasing without your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. You know, they were in verse number 7, so that they were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You know, they were going out and telling people in other cities. They sounded out, so others found out. And they loved doing this. They loved telling people about the Lord. And you know what it says right there in verse number 6? It says, and they became followers thus, and of the Lord, having received the word, and what? Much affliction. You know what I found out in this thing? You know what all you found out about in this thing? You know what Paul found out? You know what the Thessalonians found out? People are going to reject the gospel. Don't get offended about it. They're going to reject it. In much affliction. Verse number 5 of Acts chapter 17, 5 says it, and you can turn there. I'll show you this affliction they had. This is the starting of the church, by the way. You say, oh, how'd your church start? Our church started in a gymnasium over here. Then we moved over here. I mean, it's been pretty good. Thessalonians? Not so much. Started a little different. Acts chapter 17, verse number 3, it says, opening and alleging that Christ must have needs suffered and risen from the dead, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. So a bunch of these people get saved. In verse number 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. You know these lewd fellows, religious people, lewd fellows, vulgar, lasciviousness, lascivious, offensive in a sexual way is what this says, obscene or indecent, of the baser sort. There's no moral principles that these people had. They were vile, low in value. This was the beginning of the Thessalonian church. This was some of their much affliction. And then they found them not. They drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these men have turned the world upside down, are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these also do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is no other king. There is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let him go. You know what? They moved with envy, these religious people. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? You know, religious people sought these people out and they assaulted Jason's house. Marvel not. You know what, Jesus, I like verse number 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these men have turned the world upside down. You know what, Jesus will turn your world right side up. Some don't like that though. Some just like living upside down. Some are just backwards in this thing. But this affliction didn't stop the Thessalonians from spreading the gospel. You know what? Some will accept it and some won't. And it shouldn't stop us from sounding out the gospel so others can find out the gospel. Some are going to accept it, just like in today's service, and some aren't. That's God's job. Right. Acts chapter 26 says, Paul giving testimony of the gospel, Festus was mocking him. He says, thou art beside thyself, studying, much studying doth make thee mad. You know what? People are going to mock you. People will mock you for knowing this book. You start quoting this book. Oh, you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think myself happy to talk to him about him today. Some are going to mock. That doesn't mean you should stop. Don't be offended. Festus was mocking and he was religious. Probably even claimed he knew God. Agrippa, he's talking with Paul. He says, almost, thou persuadest me to become a Christian. That close. And you know, Paul was just, what more could I have said? Nothing. You did the best you could. God's got to do the rest. But at least he sounded out. Agrippa found out. But he still rejected it. Some are going to reject. Paul was able to do that. Paul was able to shake off the vipers. I like that passage. That viper bit on him. Remember that passage, Acts chapter 28? The viper bites on him. You know, people are going to bite on you. People are going to bite on you for sharing the gospel. But shake them off. Don't bite them back. Because if you pay attention to that thing, all those people go, well, this guy must have been a murderer. And that's how people are. They get to judge you like that. You know what I mean? Oh, must have been a murderer. Snake bit him. But he was. We already went through that. He was a murderer. So they were right. But his response was the key. Did you catch that? Because they were sitting there looking at him, and you know what? They go, well, how come you're not dead? That's weird. How come he's not dying? And he was still, his response was, he didn't die. And then they all said, wow, you must be a god. Round the other. One extra. I mean, that quick. And the same is with you, maybe. You might witness to somebody, your work out there, and they see you and how you're going to respond. They say, you know what? This person knows God. They might not think you're God, but they might see the light of God in you and how you're going to respond. But you still got to give the gospel. Just like the Thessalonian, you still got to sound out so others can find out. You don't have to have a title. Can I say, you don't have to have a title. I think of the Maniac Gadara. He's like one of my heroes. He really is. Mark chapter 5, one of my favorite passages. Guy's possessed with 2,000 devils. Christ pull them all out of there. All the devils go into the swine. And he's sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And it says, and the town came in and said, they seen him clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. but they were scared of this guy. And you know what Jesus says to him? All this guy wanted to do was just hang around the Lord. Lord, you're the only person that helped and healed me. Lord, it was you. You got me. You, Lord, I don't have to cut myself anymore. I don't have these demons terrifying me all the day long. I'm not living naked in a graveyard anymore. I'm not bound with all these chains. People couldn't even bind him. And he said, Lord, all I want to do is just hang out with you. All I want to do is just be by you. Lord, I just want to stay here. And the Lord says, no, go back to your home and tell of how good the Lord is and what great things He's done for you. Go tell the Lord what great things the Lord hath done for you and had had compassion on thee. I wonder who the first guy was that said, what Bible college did you go to? Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin that, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying you don't need a title. Yeah. What was your let me tell you what my title was. I used to be in a graveyard, naked, cutting myself, screaming that every time I cut myself, all these demons would just get out of me. But it never happened. Until one day this guy Jesus came over and healed me and cast them all out in these pigs. And all the pigs ran off the cliff. And all I wanted to do was be with Jesus. And He said, nope, go home, because that's where I was, and tell everything that Jesus had done for me. Every one of you got a testimony. It doesn't have to be like that guy's testimony. It don't have to be like Paul's testimony. It doesn't have, it's your testimony of how God saved you. Every single one of us. He saved Paul out of religion. Man, I used to be religious. So religious that I killed people that disagreed with what I said, and I was arguing with them out of the book. Wow. Facts. You got, everybody's got a testimony. The Thessalonians had a testimony. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 6, or verse number 6, chapter number 1 says, they received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. You know what? You don't know who's going to respond. You don't know how they'll respond. Some people respond like the maniac Gadara, and some people, until the Lord knocks them down and blinds them and asks them, how long are you going to kick against the pricks? They're just going to kick for a long time. But you never know. But some will receive it with the joy of the Holy Ghost. But you still got to sound out. Some are going to receive it. Paul found out the Thessalonians were examples all the way out in Macedonia and Achaia. They were examples taking the gospel, bragging on God, sounding out the word that others found out. They sound out. They found out. You know, because of that, they wound up. Verse number 8. It says, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad. You know what? You don't know where you'd end up if it wasn't for God. Who would here predicted right now that you'd be sitting in a Sunday church service right now? I never would have thought in a million years if I'd be right here talking about the goodness of God. I used to mock people. Then one day I got saved. You know what? And I wound up in a Baptist church over here inside a school gymnasium. You're like, that sounds ghetto. Tell me about it. You know what I mean? I would have never guessed it. God gives me a track at a gas station. Changed my whole life. I'm talking being a drunk. I'm talking drug addict. You guys heard my testimony. Got a family now. Children. Married. I've stayed married longer than my parents have. So is my wife. Praise God. I'm just saying the Lord has done great things. But you gotta sound out. You gotta sound out so others can find out. So they don't wind up in hell. That's what that rich man Lazarus, he said, why don't you send somebody? Send somebody to warn them of this place. He said, sound out. You don't want to come here. There's a big gulf between this place where Lazarus was and the place over here where the rich man was. He said, tell him, I don't want to be in this place of torment. Tell my brother so they can find out. And you know what Jesus said? He said, they had the prophets and they had Moses. So they already had your chance. And he wound up there. And I'm not going to wind up there. Amen. I've called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I called on Him the best way I knew how. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I was one of them people, you didn't have to convince me that I was a sinner. I was just, you've been to jail? Yep. Yep. I'm thinking of Sean Holst. Sean Holst was just, he's going to come in. He gets spit on street preaching. Spit on. We used to go street preaching and Kevin got spit on. And all I want to do is punch this guy. I said, where's he at? He goes, no, Michael, we can't do that. And I started to think about that. I said, man, he got spit on. I go, well, last time I was in jail because somebody spit on me. I go, well. The Lord's still growing me. Where would you be if it wasn't for the Lord? You know what? I wound up in a church service. I wound up getting a track. God changed my life. I called upon the name of the Lord and He saved me. And you can look around all this world. If you can look out of this world, you're going to get depressed. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you'll keep that joy. You can have that fellowship with the Lord as the piano player comes. This time invitation. Maybe there's somebody here today. You'd say, you know what, man, I don't know if I'd wind up in heaven. Can I tell you, you know, the Lord will save you. You call on Him. The Bible says, for whoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. First Corinthians 15. You believe on the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You know what? There's a God in heaven that'll save you from hell. And He always lives and He always wants to answer your prayer. But if you'd repent from your ways and you'd call upon Him to save your soul, He'll do it. He did it for me. Amen. Got a witness? There's somebody else out there that just say, you know what, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There'd be somebody today, Lord, that say, Lord, just touch their hearts, Lord, that they'd lift up their hand and say, you know what, Lord, I want to get saved. There'd be somebody like that today. I ain't trying to call nobody out or embarrass anybody. Maybe in the best way you could right now, you just call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sin, Lord, and Lord, I just want to believe on your Son, Lord, who died on that cross and rose again on the third day, Lord, and just, Lord, He paid that punishment for me. Lord, I just pray these things. Lord, I pray you save me in Jesus' name. Amen. It's really that simple. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.